Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, August 31st, 2009. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by the Indie Beauty Boutique. Check it out. Lots of aromatherapy products, handmade soaps, jewelry, and other wonderful artisan-crafted products at indiebeauty.com. Just click on Buy Indie at the top of the page. Looking forward to seeing you there. Well, speaking of Indie, there are no shortage of people that are starting, launching, owning, and managing successful businesses, and statistic after statistic shows that many of them are women, and even more to the point, many of them are also mothers. That fact inspired me as a mother and an entrepreneur myself to invite a mompreneur onto the show today to share some details about her life and a little bit about her story and how she manages to run her home as well as her business successfully. Our guest today is Debbie Chialta. She is a self-taught melt and pour soap crafter with a bachelor's degree in fine art from the Academy of Art University in San Francisco. Her background is in fashion design, which of course plays a big role in her ability to create such fantastic melt and pour crafted soap. Debbie lives in San Diego with her husband and their two children. She is also a member of the Indie Beauty Network and a long list of other fantastic things, which I'm going to let her tell you about. Debbie, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Thank you so much.
For those of you who are listening at indiebusinessradio.com, feel free to come on over to my Twitter page at Indie Business and just click on the link for my last tweet, which will bring you right into the chat room so you can join us live. You can ask your questions in the live chat room and share your comments with other like-minded people as we move forward and Debbie shares her story. Well, Debbie, you know, you are an amazing person. We're going to start really broadly and ask you, Debbie, to just tell us a little bit about your story. How did you start this business and what is your background before that?
Well, before I started making soap, I was in kind of the corporate apparel industry. I was specializing in product development, which is basically working with fashion designers and the factories to construct the garments for mass production. So I was in the technical aspect, creating spec packs, managing other technicians, working with factories, traveling to the factories around, you know, Asia to negotiate costing and, you know, get fabrics developed, get the fit to be perfect, colors all matching across many styles. And I really enjoyed it. I did that for 10 years until I was pregnant. I became pregnant with our first son. And I wanted to make my own cocoa butter for my expanding tummy. And I just wanted to make my own because when I was looking in the shops for, you know, belly balms, I found that they weren't all cocoa butter. And for some reason, I thought that was like the crucial ingredient to avoid the dreaded stretch marks. And so I went to take a class on how to make lotions and creams. And so I took this class, and unfortunately, they didn't teach how to make lotion. And I was so disappointed, but in between making bath salts and scrubs and things, the teacher had brought a bunch of her books, and some of them were soap-making books. Mm-hmm. And when I found one of those books, I was just hooked, and I went out and bought some of my own books and immediately started making soap. And I just wound up clicking with glycerin soap because there were just so many creative things I could do with it that I found more inspiring. So that is how I got started.
Well, and Debbie, I love that background because most of what you just shared has absolutely nothing to do with what you're doing now. And that's one of the things that makes your story so fantastic. You are now an author. Your new book, Soapy Love, just came out. Mm-hmm. You have a product line of melt and pour soapsicles and soaps crafted in the shape of popsicles, which is so fantastic. You have a quarterly online magazine, and we're going to get a chance to talk in detail a little bit about each one of those. But you're a mom. you're a mom-to-be, actually, and you learn how to make Belly Balm, and all of a sudden, fast forward, what, just 4 years, 5 years?
Yes, it's only been about 4.5 years since I launched Soapy Love, and things are going great. I couldn't ask for a better situation. I've just found my passion, and there's just a million ways that I want to share my excitement about glycerin soap making, and that is why I have so many things that I'm doing, because I'm just so thrilled with all the potential there and how receptive everyone has been.
And Debbie, so take me from I'm pregnant, I need some Belly Balm, I went to a soap making class.
Yeah.
To the decision to actually turn this into something that would be a profit-making venture. Because I think that's where a lot of women sort of get stuck.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how you originally started to make that transition.
Well, it's kind of an unfortunate story, and I've shared my story with several other mothers coming from kind of the corporate world. I've found that this is actually very common. But when I was pregnant with Sequoia, my son, I was really ambitious, really motivated to do, 110% at my job. And I was getting promoted, and I received a promotion to director of my team. And I was going to be taking on management of several other new teams. And I was very, very excited. But I went and had Sequoia. He was a planned cesarean. And on the day I got back from the hospital, my manager called me several times at home asking me about work and emailed me about tons of questions about work. And she insisted that I work from home while I was on my maternity leave. And when I was just reeling from having a C-section, from being a new mother, dealing with, postpartum depression, just because of just the hormone craziness, and yet my manager, who I just totally idolized, was basically threatening to fire me if I didn't continue working from home. And it completely crushed me. I was devastated. My entire maternity leave was overshadowed by this drama at my work. And when I went back, nothing really was ever the same. And I just decided, I was like, I've got to make this soap business work. I've got to get out of here. This is really awful for me. And as I put more and more of my heart into Soapy Love, and I was getting more and more success from that, I thought, this could be it. And so it was really the thing that pushed me into making it work. And my husband and I, we both decided, you know what, we're going to do this together. So that is really what got me to do it.
Wow, that sounds like it sounds like it wasn't a difficult decision for you then because of what was going on at your job at the time.
No, it wasn't. It was like the light at the end of the tunnel.
Right, right. So here you are, and you're like, okay, I need to do something, I'll probably go ahead and do something on my own. Were you scared, nervous?
Definitely. It was a huge gamble, coming from a stable career with a, solid paycheck and a mortgage, and, there was no light decision. I went to a financial planner, and we went over all of our expenses. We found ways to cut back drastically and just kind of control our spending and see, how I could cut it down to, probably like 25% of the income we were accustomed to. And, with my husband also, he is a self-employed acupuncturist, and, his business was pretty young at the time. So it was a huge gamble for us to do it, especially with having one child, and I was pregnant when I decided to leave. So it was a very big deal, very scary.
And Debbie, it sounds like what a smart idea to hire or engage the services of a financial planner to help you whittle down your expenses. Did you also do like a big, huge business plan? What was that process like? Because by the time, correct me if I'm wrong, by the time you actually started this business, you were nursing a child.
Well, you know, the business was very young. I really only started it after my son was born because I was, you know, like many hobbyists, you know, we make so much stuff, we don't know what to do with it, might as well sell it. And I had discovered Etsy and was just selling online really to sustain my hobby. And then because Etsy was just an incredible just avenue for me of exposure, I was getting lots of wholesale inquiries. It was just growing and growing. I was the first glycerin soap crafter that was a featured artist on Etsy. And also through the Etsy forums, I found a listing. It was a producer of the show, The Craft Lab. They were looking for guests, and so I was a guest on the show, which opened a whole bunch of new doors for me. So, you know, that was what made it seem like, okay, this is feasible, but it wasn't that way at first. It took some time. So it really was about 2 years that I was still in that job until I was able to leave.
So you kept the job for the first 2 years after your child was born.
Yeah, and I was pregnant with my daughter, and then, you know, I was like, well, I'm pregnant, and then I'm going to get a maternity leave? Well, so that 3 months of maternity leave was like, all right, let's see if this is really, really possible. And by the end of the maternity leave, I was like, you know what, this is possible. I'm not going back.
Great. So it sounds like you have a similar experience to so many other people, me included. You find something that you love to do. The time is right because you are starting a family, and then you start doing it just to cover your expenses, and at some point it becomes not just something to cover your expenses but something to make a profit at. Can you tell me a little bit about what that was like for you?
Sure. Yeah, that was a very serious thing, making sure it was profitable. You know, when I first started selling my soap pops on Etsy, I just kind of pulled a price out of thin air. I thought, well, if I was a shopper, what would I spend on this? Okay, $5. So I started selling them for $5. And then as I got wholesale inquiries, I was like, oh, this better be realistic. So I had to backtrack and rebuild my costing to see, well, what is the real wholesale price of this? And since I was working in, you know, apparel costing, that was a big part of my job, I knew how to build up to retail, kind of build up all the costs and figure out, you know, what is the true cost of my item, double that for wholesale, double that again for retail. And also, I had exceeded my ability to manufacture all of the soaps myself since I was working full-time and I did have a newborn at home. I had to hire help, so I had an independent contractor helping me, and so I had to build in her labor. And so all of that was very methodical to make sure that I could make it profitable and make it a real business. And so with the wholesale business, I saw that that was really my ticket to making this, you know, sustainable, and that is what I have always focused on, is growing wholesale, not so much retail.
And Debbie, it sounds like there wasn't really this long-term advanced business planning process for you.
No, it was very organic. It just kind of happened step by step. It just kept evolving, growing naturally. You know, I think because my soaps are so colorful and different in that way that they're very attractive for people to feature on blogs, to be in magazines, and for retailers to carry in their shops. So really they are kind of self-promoting, and I was very fortunate in that way too.
And Debbie, what do you suggest for someone starting today? I mean, 5 years ago is like an eternity when we're talking about an online business. As we move to our break, can you share just a few things that you think may be different about launching a brand new business today than they may have been 5 or 6 years ago when you first started?
Well, I think when I first started, Etsy was brand new, and there wasn't nearly the amount of competition as there is now. But I do think that with the growing social media like Twitter and, you know, Facebook being huge, that that really just diving into that to get the exposure and, you know, channel the traffic to your site, whether it's independent or whether it's on Etsy or, you know, an art fire, you know, one of those kind of shops, that's important. You just have to get exposure. Just get out there, get people to know who you are, familiar with your name, in order to drive traffic to wherever you're selling. I think that's different and, you know, a great opportunity now with so many huge social media sites.
So does that social media expansion and explosion in some ways make up for the fact that there are so many more people to compete with in whatever market you're in, do you think?
I do think so. I do. I think it's a huge opportunity, and because, you know, like in many indie businesses, it's not just your product but also the person behind the brand that draws people to your shop, then the more you can get people to know you, you know, the better you'll do. So I do think that it's a wonderful opportunity, much better than when I first started.
Now, Debbie, what do you mean by what you just said? I find that really interesting, that it's not so much the products but the person who is creating them that draws people to them. Tell us more about that.
Well, I do think that, you know, especially in soap making, so many of us do make similar items, you know, it's true. And it's important that you have basically a face to put with your brand that people connect with, because they have so many choices out there. There's so many other shops that they can go to. So the more you can make yourself unique or have a very specific image or point of view, then you will attract the customers who you want, you know, for your brand, and make yourself distinctive in the market. So I think that is very important, as well as having great quality items, great customer service, competitive pricing, all of those other things. But I think having a very strong persona is going to really help develop and establish your brand.
We're talking with Debbie Chialtas, Indie Beauty Network member and author of the brand new book, Soapy Love, Squeaky Clean Projects Using Melt and Pour Soap. Debbie, we're going to come back and pick your brain a little bit more about how you made this transition to entrepreneurship and what sorts of things you do from day to day to make your business thrive. I'm Donna Maria. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We are talking this afternoon with Debbie Chialtas, the author of Soapy Love, the brand new book on melt and pour soap crafting. And by the way, you guys, I want to encourage you to visit soapylove.com. No matter what kind of business you have, Debbie and all the fun things that she's doing to inspire other people is definitely going to inspire you. And if you've ever wondered if there was anything special about soap, then a couple of minutes at Debbie's website and you won't wonder anymore. You'll want to run out and buy your own melt and pour soap kit and make your own. Debbie's really good at inspiring people in that way. Debbie, we have a question from the chat room from a woman who is currently employed starting a business, and her boss is sort of putting the same kind of pressures on her that you experienced when you first had your first child. What sort of tips can you offer her for how to handle that? You were in that position for 24 months, 2 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, it felt like an eternity. And I would recommend that for anybody who is working full-time and, you know, whether you love it or hate it, but, you know, when your heart is really somewhere else, you're starting your own business on the side, you've just got to put on your best face at work. You've got to do good work. You have to be just as accountable as you always have been. And, you know, just keep your side business to yourself as much as you can. You can tell your coworkers about it, la la, but don't ever let it interfere with your corporate job, because you just don't want to fear that your boss is going to call you in one day and, you know, confront you about it or say that it's interfering with your job, because you don't need that kind of stress. You need that paycheck, you know, as long as you're there and you've decided that you're working, you know, don't burn any bridges and do your best work. As hard as it is, believe me, it was hard for me. So, you know, that's my advice. When you're at work, be at work.
That's very good advice, Debbie. I find something interesting in your book here, too. In the foreword, your dedication says, "This book is dedicated to my incredibly loving and supportive husband, Jim, who quietly tolerates my obsessive soap making." There's other people there, too, including your children, that you are acknowledging. But I wonder, Debbie, if you could share a little bit about the significance of a supportive spouse when it comes to running a business as a mom and a wife.
Oh, gosh. You know, if it wasn't for my husband's support, complete support, you know, this really, I don't know, you know, where I would be right now, because with having the children, we have to be a team to help each other succeed. Since we are both self-employed, it's a real challenge. However, because he's an acupuncturist, he takes appointments and he works pretty close to where we live. He comes home between clients if he can. And those half an hour, I just go and I run to the computer, I answer emails, I, you know, send out purchase orders, whatever. And he's also dedicated every Monday to being home with the children so that I can have a complete, you know, work day. And, you know, he's traveled with me, like, up to Washington so I could teach at the Ocean Soap Making Weekend Intensive. He takes care of the kids while I'm teaching. You know, he has completely dedicated to helping Soapy Love succeed, just like myself. And he even does all my shipping. Like, he'll be doing that after this interview. I'll give him all the invoices for today, and he'll go ship out of the garage. So we are completely a team on this. It's really important for us.
That sounds like it's a wonderful arrangement that you have there, and you've been at it for a little while. What tips can you offer for people who are just starting out? That, you know, a lot of times as women, we plan our families and our lives to the extent we can, obviously, before we get married, with our future spouse. What's it going to be like? What are our plans going to be? And sometimes this entrepreneurship thing comes out of left field. What are your tips for women who may be in that situation, where they're, you know, the sort of roadmap was already out there, but now they want to leave that, you know, six-figure job and start a soap-making business?
Yeah, well, I think that when... Personally speaking, I mean, the soap making business passion, it really did hit me out of the blue. It was like it ignited this creativity that had been kind of squashed for so long, since I was in a technical aspect of design and not so much the styles. And so for me, it was just something like I had to do it. It wasn't that I planned it into my day. It was just any chance I got, I was working. Even when I was breastfeeding my son at 3 in the morning, I was checking email and seeing if I had any Etsy sales. So pretty much I just squeezed it into every second that I could. And it really didn't follow any kind of plan. And I wish I could be more constructive, but, you know, in a way it just kind of took over. And, of course, children and family always come first. But I don't know, there's just always been a few minutes or an hour that I could squeeze out of my day to commit to working, even if that was, you know, maybe missing out on a movie with my husband at night. You know, he'd understand. It was maybe one night when I would go and just go in the kitchen and make a bunch of soaps. And, you know, he would help me package sometimes so that we could watch TV together. So it was just a way to make it work. I think it's just a drive that, you know, you just have to go with it sometimes if that's what you really want. And as a family, as a team, you know, you can probably get it done.
Debbie, we have a listener, Kathy, in the chat room, and she's interested in getting some tips from you on how we can encourage our spouses to help us in more ways. She says that her husband helps her at shows, but not necessarily at home. You just described that your husband helps you make soap at nighttime or pack it up when you had to make it. What tips can you offer for people who want to do a good job of encouraging their spouses to help out in the business in ways that they need without being overbearing or demanding?
Well, maybe there has to be a benefit for them. Like, well, when my husband packs orders, he doesn't have to watch the kids. So that's kind of a benefit for him. He gets to go out in the garage and be alone for a couple hours, listen to his music and pack orders. You know, that's kind of a little, it benefits me, it benefits him, it works out. And when he's packing orders with me at night, you know, he's helping me get work done so that I can just sit and watch a movie with him for longer. So maybe you have to think a little creatively, see, okay, well, what things maybe does he really not like to do? What can you do for him? Maybe you can make some trades and, you know, make it work out, because, you know, it's important for them to want to do what they're doing and not hate every second of it.
That's a really good tip. And, you know, it's interesting that you say that in terms of trading off, because as a mom and as parents, you and your husband, do you have to sort of tag team it with business and the kids, right, and your relationship as well?
Totally. Oh, completely. Oh, every second it feels like it's either you're working towards, you know, making dinner, getting the kids in the bath, you know, whatever. It's always a team effort, and family duties never end. So, yeah, it is certainly a team effort.
So, Debbie, we've got so many things that you're doing right now, and I'm gonna give a list. And I know this sounds like a lot, but I also know from observing you and hearing you talk and share what you do, that you have such a passion for this. So I want everyone to know all the different things that you do, and this is just my short list. You add to this list, because I know you're doing far more things than I even know about. But from a business perspective, what you've got here is this fantastic, brand-new published book, Soapy Love, Squeaky Clean Projects for Melt and Pour Soap. Mm-hmm. You also have a successful and profitable business selling products.
Mm-hmm.
You also have a blog, which does a fantastic job not only of sharing information and tips about melt and pour soap, but also sharing the successes of people who you teach how to make melt and pour soap. So you also teach classes and you travel around doing that. You
right.
also have a successful, fairly newly launched quarterly online magazine.
Mm-hmm.
All about melt and pour soap crafting.
Right.
So, and you're a mom and you're a wife, and you just moved into a new home, and according to your blog, you've also discovered homemade pretzels.
Right.
So, Debbie, this is like my question sort of facetiously is, when do you have time, or how do you make time for just Debbie?
Oh, gosh. You know, my business, whenever I work on my business, it feels like Debbie time, because working on my business is my favorite thing to do. So that's, it's kind of funny, but that's kind of the truth. And anytime I can just sit down and answer an email or write a blog post, that is like my self-indulgent moment. And, you know, if I'm able to get to the mall and, you know, look at clothes for a while, then that's like an extra treat. But generally speaking, you know, that is my me time. And maybe that's why I do so much, is because I just love it. I love it so much. I want to do it all the time.
Debbie, I want to explore that with you, because we all, you know, this makes me think about the fantastically popular book, 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss.
Mm.
And when we think about work, what you're describing is perhaps work in a way that other people may not think of it. So do you find that the most successful women in business, and moms, I guess, as well, are ones who find a way to do what you just described, that is, make the business a part of their me time?
Well, it certainly helps, and I think that just from what I've noticed, and seeing other business owners and how they do it, it seems like a lot of people who have followed their passion, they're a little obsessed with it. It's almost like beyond them. They can't stop. And sometimes I think that's unhealthy, you know, that they're putting work in front of, you know, everything else. But I think there's a way to balance it out, and it drives the determination to, you know, make a business keep going, which sometimes feels like the biggest key to succeeding is just sticking with it, no matter what challenges come at you. If you love it and you're just compelled to keep at it, then you're going to get through those tough times, and you're going to get more good times, and it's going to grow. So, you know, I think that it's important to embrace your passion and just kind of let it take over. Let it be kind of like your obsessive job / passion that you follow. And, you know, it really helps you get through a lot of the challenges of business growth.
Debbie, how did you finance your business?
You know, my business is pretty inexpensive to run. You know, like the magazine, for example, it's just time invested. There's no money to invest in that. For the soap pops, that is pretty self-perpetuating since my business is pretty steady, that I can put, you know, a large bulk order for soap base on my credit card, and pretty much the next cycle I can pay it off. I don't offer terms for my customers. I don't like to carry anybody's credit at my risk. So I try to run things extremely streamlined so that nothing gets too out of my hands to track or look after. So I've never taken out a loan. It's always credit cards, but it's under control. Like, I have my own personal limit of what, you know, my balance is, and I never let it get beyond that, and I always try to keep it way down, pay it down. So that's how we do it.
So your business is totally debt-free.
Yes.
Awesome. I think that's so incredible. We are talking with Debbie Chialtis, author of Soapy Love, publisher of the Soapy Love online magazine, creator of the one and only Soap Pop, mom, wife, Indie Beauty Network member, friend, and social media guru, and butterfly. This is so exciting. You know, and Debbie, I have to tell you before we close out, I am excited to hear you say something that I think will be encouraging to a lot of people, and that is that you can have your me time overlap with your business time. I want to come back and explore that a little bit more with you in just a few minutes. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Back to Indie Business Radio. We're talking this afternoon with Debbie Chialtis of Soapy Love, and the author of the Soapy Love book and the publisher of the Soapy Love online magazine and a host of other things. And Debbie, before we took our break, one of the things we were talking about was how you incorporate your me time, your Debbie time, into your business and vice versa. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. Well, I'm home with the kids, and my husband goes to work, and like I said, he is able to come home sometimes, but, you know, there are days when he's gone from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., and, you know, I've got to field everything. Well, it can go both ways. If he's home early, he knows I am going to work. I'm going to go to the computer in the bedroom and be working for a while. He understands that it's not just my passion and something I love to do, but it is part of our family income. It's serious. So we know that there are sacrifices, you know, that have to be made sometimes, but we have personal time also. At night, you know, after our son goes to bed, he's the last one to go to sleep, which is usually 8:30, then, you know, I will go and we'll go watch TV together. But when Jim, my husband, is putting our son to bed, that usually takes about an hour, and I'm able to go and work on the computer. So we have certain parameters of responsibilities that we are responsible for first, and then I can, you know, do my work second.
Debbie at Soapy Love is telling us a little bit about the nitty-gritty where the rubber meets the road when it comes to balancing and successfully integrating, which I think is probably a better way to describe it, her home life, her business life, her family life, and her Debbie life. It seems like Debbie's audio and telephone connection somehow disconnected for a second, so I'm sure she's going to be calling back in, and we will resume the conversation. One of the things that Kathy in the chat room has asked in the meantime is, it was someone else, but she wanted to know whether the Soapy Love website was created by Debbie or whether a professional did it. And I will ask Debbie that question when she comes back, but because I have asked her that before, I can tell you that the website is a combination of Debbie's design and a professional's design, because Debbie is a trained graphics and art professional, so a lot of the graphics and things she created herself, but also many things she had a professional designer do for her. So for those of you who are thinking about designing your own websites or working with someone else to do that, remember that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It can be a combination of both. And when you visit Debbie's website, you'll see lots of her work there, as well as other professionals who have helped her design her business. In the meantime, it's great to have you, and I'm so glad that you have the questions that you're asking and the conversations that you're having. Kathy in the chat room just talked about how important it is to have the passion, and certainly the passion for what you do is what keeps you up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and also helps you to juggle all the different responsibilities that you have to juggle when you're running a business on your own. Another thing that's so important that Debbie addressed has to do with how we as women have to make some difficult choices when it comes to entrepreneurship during the time that we're also starting a family. And while it's great to have a supportive spouse, the fact of the matter is that there's only one mom, and we are the ones carrying the children, and that's an additional responsibility and additional taxing on our bodies in a physical sense, and our emotions and our hormones and everything. So I think it's great to have Debbie as an example. She's such a great example of what's possible. Her business is totally debt-free. She is not working outside of her business and her home right now. And I think this is another significant thing for entrepreneurs to understand, particularly when you're starting up, is that Debbie does not accept terms. In other words, for her wholesale customers, according to what she just said on the show, she does not accept 30-day or 15-day payments. Everyone has to pay in advance. I think she described it as, I don't finance other people's businesses. And I think that's an interesting point and an incredibly important one for us to remember. I know a lot of small business owners who get into a lot of trouble wholesaling when they're operating their businesses on very thin margins, and wholesalers don't pay their bills on time. And then what happens is your credit card balance is due for your supplies, and you have to pay them, but your wholesale customers have not paid. That's what credit is for, and any wholesale customer who has a business should also have access to at least some credit so that they can finance the products that they purchase. They'll work harder to retail your products, too, if they know they have to pay that bill off quickly. So I think it's really important for us to remember that. Now, for those of you who don't know Debbie, who was offering some great tips, and I'm not sure what happened to her, you can visit her website at soapylove.com. Her blog is soapylove.blogspot.com. And both of these places will deliver you links to her newsletter as well as to her online magazine. You can also connect with her on Twitter at twitter.com/soapylove. You can find her on Twitter as well. On Facebook as well, if you just go to facebook.com, of course, and type in her name, which is Debbie Chialta. And you can check that out. Kathy in the chat room wants to know, does Debbie usually pay monthly for a website? Kathy, I'm not sure what you mean by that question, and Debbie's not here to answer it, but I believe I'm correct when I say that when Debbie sells on Etsy, as she talked about before, she pays a monthly fee, which is amounts to, in part, a commission on the sales that she generates. And if your question is about her branded website at Soapy Love, I think Debbie pays hosting fees for that site, but I do know that she does a lot of the updating to that site herself, and of course her website at soapylove.blogspot doesn't have any hosting fees because Blogspot is a free blog hosting service. So, Kathy, I hope that helps you understand how Debbie got things started. And I think it's also important, too, for us to understand that one of the things Debbie does is serve as a media outlet for her business. Debbie has, as I said, the blog. She's got a magazine. And she also produces videos, which she shares at the indiebeauty.com website and also at her blog and elsewhere. These are videos that share a little bit about the classes that she teaches. They share
Debbie.
A little bit about the fun things that she's doing. And I think
Donna Debbie, Maria.
Debbie's back.
Yes.
Debbie, she has been chatting about how great your website is, how great your are.
I'm sorry. I think we had a brownout. My entire house, just all the power went out, and I couldn't get back on. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Well, you know what? The conversation has continued because you gave up a whole lot to talk about.
Good.
So listen, there's a question from Heather in the chat room, Debbie. She says she has some friends and family asking her if they can sell her products for her in sort of a direct sales way.
Yeah.
Is this a good idea? Heather asked. She'd like to know what you think about that.
Well, I mean, I don't think it hurts. I think it's a little tricky working with friends and family with your business because if something kind of sticky comes up, it's hard to be honest and, you know, work it out in a professional way. So I think that you should be very careful about how involved you let friends and family get in your business. But certainly if they want to, you know, give it a shot and try to sell your items, then that's cool. You could give them like a percentage of sales or something.
That's good advice. So would you suggest that she sort of make sure that she handles it in a professional way and just like, you know, not just a family member asking for a favor or something to do because they're bored?
Yeah, I would think maybe even come up with something that seems very standard, like say, oh, yeah, okay, if you want to sell my items, then this is kind of my procedure for selling. Then, you know, here's this form for taking orders. Here's your sample set. Just make it sound very standard and not unique just to them. Like, that might help them feel more comfortable with it, too.
That's good advice to inject some professionalism into that. And, Debbie, you know, I think it's interesting that you say that because these days with so many people looking for alternatives to traditional work, I would imagine that a lot of people that are starting businesses encounter this issue.
Yeah, definitely. Certainly. I saw recently on the Indie Beauty Network there was a woman who was asking opinions about a brother-in-law who wanted to become a partner in her business so that he could handle marketing and things. And, you know, I think that's really dangerous. So, you know, I've been in a business partnership that didn't work, and it was ugly. So, you know, I'm always very hesitant when I hear about people, you know, wanting to involve family or friends in their business. I think that it's, I think it's very thin ice. Watch out.
Watch out. Well, you seem to have done it with your husband in a formal yet an informal way. That sounds like you have sort of managed to combine the best of both worlds because he's also self-employed. So I bet you do things to help him out as well all the time.
Oh, for sure. You know, it's really just I'm primarily in charge of the children. You know, we have an understanding. So if he has appointments at any time, he works on Saturdays so that he can be home and watch the kids while I work on Mondays. So, you know, if I have childcare needs that, you know, he can't cover, it's up to me to find help. So, you know, we have very clear definition of our responsibilities with the family, and then we help each other manage our businesses in that way. And, you know, since we're married, I feel like that's, you know, a bigger partnership than just, you know, maybe a friend saying, I want to sell some items for you. You know, Jim and I were in it forever, so we're going to make it work.
Now, it's interesting that you say that. Do you find, Debbie, that even though you and your spouse have different businesses, you are still self-employed, so, you know, it's you or the highway. I mean, without you, nothing really works. Mm-hmm. Do you find that it enhances your personal relationship to work together in this professional way as well?
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure. I think that it would probably, not every marriage could handle having, you know, so much, you know, overlap with business and family. But, you know, in this case, you know, Jim knows what's going on with my business. I know what's going on with his, and we make, you know, family financial decisions based on what's going on. So, you know, everything is very transparent, and I think in, you know, a marriage, communication and honesty is crucial. So, you know, there's really no, there's nothing unknown about any level of our lives between each other. It's a good thing.
Now, Debbie, your business is successful and expanding. I understand you have an exciting new licensing arrangement with another company. Tell us that news.
Oh, okay. Yes. I've been working with Anne-Marie of Brambleberry. We are developing a line of Soapy Love branded supplies and molds for melt and pour soap crafting. Actually, the supplies can be used for any type of, you know, body product. But there's colorants, fragrances, actual soap base, and molds, and they're all custom for the Soapy Love line. And that should be launching in the next month or two.
Congratulations, Debbie.
Thank you.
Now, you have done something that a lot of people think about doing, and that is you've taken one business, one stream of income, one thing that you created and turned into a profitable venture, and you have expanded it. Tell us a few things that you consider before expanding a business in that way for people out there who have something, they have a niche, it's successful, but they're thinking about doing some of the things you're doing, like maybe teaching or starting a magazine or other things. What sorts of things do you consider or are you considering as you branch out in this way?
Well, like right now I'm starting another line of soaps called Little Althea, and it's a more boutique, sophisticated, modern collection of soaps. And I have to be honest with myself about, can I dedicate the energy to this brand that it needs to be successful? Can I support the R&D, the investment to get all of these designs off the ground? You know, just do I want to spend more time working on this brand? So I think that for anyone who wants to expand, it may sound fun to add more items to your line or, you know, a different element of your business, such as a magazine, but be real. Can you do what it takes to keep it going? And if you're not sure, maybe just wait until you feel like you really can do it, because it can be a, you know, a money pit if you just, you have a passion, you want to, you know, develop this new high-end line of things with this, you know, tropical oil that you've found. Well, you know, be real. Can you do it? Do you want to do it? Is it going to stress you out too much to have this whole new line? You know, that's what I have to consider when I expand, and I recommend that to everybody else. Make sure that your primary brand is solid and going, and you can add more to your plate.
And I suppose, Debbie, that it's because if you have a successful business already, even though it may be very small, expanding or deciding whether to expand may not be as difficult as starting the first one, because you have some business experience. You can actually answer some of those questions that you just posed.
Mm-hmm, right. You probably know what's involved in doing all the things to make this expansion succeed, so you have a more informed decision to make. And, yeah, you have more channels to just, you know, tap into already, which it won't be as hard to get it off the ground. But, you know, just I think that's always important, just to make sure that things stay streamlined. Just keep checking in on everything that's going on.
That's Debbie Chiatis at SoapyLove.com talking about streamlining her business at the same time as she expands her business, and also her newly published book, Soapy Love Squeaky Clean Projects Using Melt and Pour Soap. Check it out. It's available at her website, also on Amazon and every place else. Debbie is available to answer questions about what's going on in her Soapy Love life at her blog at SoapyLove.blogspot.com. Debbie, thank you so much for joining and sharing these fantastic tips. You lit up the chat room today with women who are interested in what you have to share. I'm so glad that you were here. Next week, everyone, our first show in September. Can you believe it's September? My guest will be Sirmana Mitra, author of Bootstrapping, Weapon of Mass Reconstruction. This is a wonderful book to tell you a lot of information that's useful to help you build your business without investors, without bank loans. Bootstrapping it is the way to go, says this author, Sirmana Mitra. That's next week, Monday, September the 7th, 2009, right here on Indie Business Radio. I look forward to seeing you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.